Do you guys feel that something has changed in the air now that I think it's safe to say that we're officially in the general election, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
I would say yes.
I would say yes.
Sure.
I don't know how this guy gets away with the stuff he says or the stuff he does. I mean, where's Daniel Dale and all the fact-checking clowns for this?
Oh, you're talking about State of the Union.
Yeah, State of the Union. I just, come on. What a joke.
I know.
I know we're going to get to it. It's just, it makes
I do get Hogan's frustration. Can't even wait for the stinger. Oh my gosh. We're just in the open here. Amazing. Well, I mean, my point was going to be that we're in the general election because Trump is now the nominee officially, except for the, you know, he needs to rack up the delegates officially and get over the top, but everybody else has dropped out. And Biden with the State of the Union, that was clearly his campaign launch. That was a political speech if I ever saw one. So seriously. Welcome to the general election. And we bring that message to you from all of us here at the Line Drive Podcast. Good stuff. So let's State of the Union is the freshest, most recent thing Thursday night. And, you know, I got to say, I don't stay up that late at night. I know you don't, Hogan.
I definitely don't.
What are you talking about? I was up till midnight last night.
I know, but usually you don't because you're at the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning or something. But I usually don't. I don't stay up that late unless there's football involved, usually these days. Mm. And so, you know, I thought Biden better make this good for my time because I'm up late to watch this thing. And, you know, it was just, I got to tell you, it was one of the, I thought it was very difficult to watch. I found it hard to watch that speech. He was angry. He was divisive. He was speed shouting is what I thought a good way to describe it. Like he was trying to pack 90 minutes of speech into a 60 minute opening. You know,
probably because he took 15-20 minutes to shake every person's hand walking in and walking out. That was like the slowest entrance and exit ever.
Yeah.
Also, it took a meandering path to get to the Capitol because of his pro-Hamas section of his political party.
Yeah, that's so amazing that it was hard for him to get to the Capitol because of all the crazy leftists out in the street chanting in favor of Hamas. And, you know, and you read between the lines, it's basically death to Jews and wipe Israel off the face of the earth because that's their position. I know, Hogan, you've been doing a million TV and radio hits before and after State of the Union. What are you telling folks? What's your main reaction?
Okay. Several things here. It's a State of the Union for the United States of America. He started with Ukraine, okay? Which is weird.
Right.
He was trying to make a parallel between Russia and Vladimir Putin and Trump, which is so offensive and so stupid and so untrue. In addition to that, the American people care about the border, the economy, crime. He didn't even talk about any of those with any solutions in mind at all. Instead, pushing for money for Ukraine's border, not talking about our border until the 41st minute. He was forced finally to say Lake and Riley's name, although he still hasn't done it because he said Lincoln Riley, who's a football coach. And then he didn't even admit the fact it's his open border policy that allowed the alleged murderer to come into this country to commit the murder. The economy, he said, was on the brink when we had 1.4% inflation, 2.6% mortgage rates. Those are all jacked up through the roof now. He said crime is on the decline. That's funny because Kathy Hochul just unleashed the National Guard to protect the subway system in New York. The whole thing was angry. It was divisive. It was caustic. We all saw that. I did not expect anything less. Everyone said, why wouldn't he president? No. He talks like this all of the time. What I was surprised about, though, was that there was no real chance, none at all, for him to deliver a line that made both sides stand up. Both sides go, yeah, that's good. We have to clap for that. He didn't force those. He focused on this small faction of his party. And yes, he talked about things like, I've relieved the pressure of loans, a loan debt. No, you didn't. You shifted the burden on the people who didn't go to college. You forced everyone in America who didn't go to college to pay for those who did. That made me angry. He talked about gun control. Sure, we'll talk about it as soon as you get Hunter to abide by those laws. He talked about the rich paying their fair share. Sure, we'll do that as soon as you get Hunter to pay his fair share in taxes. But what I did learn was something new, Tim. I didn't know this. We're all well aware of the fact of the Renaissance man who is Joe Biden. I mean, after all, he's an 18-wheeler driver. We knew that. Yeah. We know that he started the civil rights movement. We also know that he was in jail in South Africa when he went to see Nelson Mandela. What I didn't know was that he taught the Second Amendment constitutional law for 12 years. Did you know that? So I learned something new in that speech.
I heard him say that. He has never, I don't know how many times that the RNC has to correct him. Every time he talks about either now, that's a new one, teaching the Second Amendment for 12 years. But previously, he talks about being a professor at Penn. He and RNC fact checks him all the time. Every single time he says this, he has never taught a single class on any subject, Second Amendment or otherwise. What are you talking about?
Your tweet on that when I saw it last night, well, I was cracking up at that. But really, does he actually think he did these things, or is he just blatantly lying because he's gotten away with it for so long?
By now, he believes it's true. It's all part of the tapestry of his life in his mind. There's no question. He also once claimed that in the congressional baseball game, he hit a ball off the fence. Like a stand-up double. He knocked one off the fence. It was, you know, just feet away from going over the fence for a home run. And, you know,
the RNC, considering he can't stand up, but okay.
Right. So our good friend, we all know and love Zach Parkinson, he went and researcher extraordinaire. He went and dug up news accounts of all the congressional baseball games in which Joe Biden took part, and he never knocked a
Did they keep the
books
on those?
Well, not the box score, but they have a write-up of it.
That's so funny. Can I give my quick little synopsis?
Yeah, go ahead, Sonny. Barge in.
Sorry, Sonny. I got fired up about it. Go ahead.
No, it's okay because this is what I got so fired up about. Tim, first of all, I'm with you on the staying up late thing. Now, I have a six-month-old. He's in bed at 8 o'clock every night. I'm in bed at 8 o'clock every night. So this was really a stretch for me, and I struggled to make it to through the end. But I knew that he was probably going to talk about abortion, and watching the lead up on Fox of before he came out, listening to who Jill Biden had as her special guest for the State of the Union. I did some research into the, I think Kate Cox is her name, her special guest. Just a devastating story how they put this woman on a pedestal who had an abortion with her baby, who she had to sue the state of Texas so that she could get a late term abortion with her baby who was diagnosed with trisomy 18. And the Biden White House and the administration is just celebrating this. Oh, good for her for doing this, choosing this for her life. So that was just devastating. But then just he focused so much on abortion within the first, 15 minutes of the speech.
Yep.
And to see so many members of Congress, these are supposed to be our leaders, like leading our nation, making our laws, standing up and applauding and cheering the dismemberment of children, just this culture of death inside the Capitol is truly what it felt like. It was just so disheartening to see. And I had two thoughts. One, is he talking about abortion right off because he wants it to make it the center point of his campaign? Or two, is he talking about it first to get it out of the way? And notice he didn't
He's going to push on abortion quite a bit.
He's going to turn around and talk about how much of a devout Catholic he is minutes just going on and on and on about choice and right and reproductive rights and then threatening the Supreme Court to their face.
Ironically, threatening him over the power of women. When someone sits on the Supreme Court right in front of him who can't define what a woman is.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's always true. That's always fair to bring up. But didn't I see, and I was typing, furiously typing tweets and everything while I was watching the thing last night. And so I didn't catch every single word of the speech because as I was typing with my little thumbs, I was paying attention to what I was writing. But I saw a tweet from someone else afterwards. You're talking about abortion here. Is it true that he did not actually use the word abortion?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. So it was in the speech. Yeah, so the left is going nuts because it was in the speech, and you know they released the prepared remarks in advance right before he goes out there. So it was in there. But when he got
abortion
to that point of the speech,
was in there
the word abortion, yes, was in the prepared text. But when he got to that point in the speech, he was ad-libbing, or you know, I don't think he wandered off the dais exactly, but he skipped the word for whatever reason. He didn't say it, so that's got the left a little bit mad. There's another word that you guys probably are. I thought as soon as he said this, I thought, oh, he's going to get in trouble for that one from the left. Here's the bit about. Now, you talked about how he talked about Ukraine right off the bat, which is not, of course, not 70% of the people in this country think that this country is on the wrong track and headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
70%. And so naturally, when he's trying to get those people to pay attention to him, and as he's running for re-election, the first thing he talks about is someone else's country, which makes no sense if you're in political trouble like he is. And so he didn't get to immigration for a long time. And Marjorie Taylor Greene pressed him on it. And, you know, we saw the thing where she gave him the button with Laken Riley's name on it. And he said, she said to him, say her name. This was during the walk up. And then when he got to that point in the speech, she's heckling him from the seats there. And here's the clip of this.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look.
Okay. So that part, I'm not going to, that he has lost children. So I'm not going to get into that part. I can't even fathom what that must be like. I'm not going to call him on inserting that. But there's a lot to unpack this. First of all, as we already talked about, he called her Laken Riley. Mm-hmm. And her name is Laken Riley. But the word that he used there, illegal, is what got him in trouble. So we're going to go through all the stuff that he said there. Because now the left, wandered over to talk to some reporters on Friday. And a reporter asked him if he regretted using the word illegal to describe the guy. They didn't ask him, do you regret releasing the illegal alien who killed this innocent young woman? They didn't ask him that. No. They asked him, do you regret using that word?
What did he say?
God, this is where the mindset. He was like, don't. I mean, so he stumbled all over it, and he didn't know what he was going to say. And then his answer was, you know, technically not supposed to be here. So he was trying to defend the use of the word illegal, which they find so offensive. It's more offensive to call the guy an illegal than it is to think about the fact that he killed a young woman.
Well, that's because they're trying to call him newcomers now.
Newcomers.
Yeah,
yes, newcomers. Residents.
They've changed it from illegal alien to illegal immigrant to undocumented, you know, immigrant to migrant to newcomer. It's just
Saw
there was another one that Georgia based Venezuelan is another.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. Ilhan Omar tweeted and said, I think it was either right after the speech at some point, and said, no human is illegal. So once again, taking the side of the...
We really should have thought of this ahead of time, but we should say, you could think of it during the course of this. We should, at the end, give our favorite tweet by somebody about the State of the Union.
Oh man.
I saw a lot
there
of
were
good
a lot of There were a lot of good ones.
Oh, I already have my favorite one, actually. I have it.
Well, we can do it now if you want to.
You don't have to pick one of mine. You don't have to pick
one of mine. Yeah, that's right.
Tim, yours were good. That's true. But can we talk about him saying how many thousands of people have been killed by illegal?
So what's he talking about? What did he say?
What
did he say? What do you think he said, Hogan? He said how many thousands being killed by legals?
Or is he saying
how many? What's he talking about?
I don't know. But I didn't know what he was talking about through most of it. Look, that was the part where I was very confused. Was he trying to say, it's sad, but whatever, we have a lot of people dying from illegals? How many people die at the hands of legals, which is stupid because if we already have our own crazies, why are you importing 8 million more? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. So, I think he was trying to be clever and say legals, like saying there's thousands of people get murdered here all the time by people who are legally present. Why don't we talk about them? So he's
highlight our own crime.
totally downplaying this murder, saying, well, you know, what do you care about this one for? Just put it in there with the other thousands of them.
So dumb.
It wasn't compassionate at all. And Hogan, I know earlier you said that this is who he is, this, you know, angry man, this is who he is. But, and I agree, but I will say I was expecting it to be a little bit more, maybe calm, a little bit more unifying, at least fluff and lying. But the whole thing was just angry yelling.
You're right. I expected it to be that. What I said was, I'm not surprised by that at all. Didn't shock me one bit. When he started, I went, yes, this is the guy with the red behind him in the background, and the fascist imagery and the troops and whatever, the Marines.
Yeah.
That's what he is. And the idea, again, that anybody who disagrees with him, anybody who isn't going to vote for him is Hitler. Do you understand how, first of all, it's just so dumb. It's just so stupid. Like, he didn't say, hey, there's a faction of the party that I think is too extreme, or there are plenty of good Republicans out there, but I think some of them, no. He just says, if you're for the other side, you're Hitler. It is so dumb. And every U.S. senator that I know, every reporter I know who has known Joe Biden since he's a congressman says that's par for the course. They all say he is dumb. Every one of them. I'm not saying it. Many people are saying it. It's not me. People just tell me that. And so I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Owen.
I know. Are we going to another topic? Or are we still?
Well, no, I want to say when it came up and when MTG was heckling him, like the beginning, everybody saw the beginning where she gave him the button.
Yeah.
And then when it got to that part of the speech, let me just play the first part, just the first few seconds of this thing again.
I'd be a winner. Not really.
So before she spoke up there from the crowd, he was lost. He was off the rails. He didn't.
Yeah.
So she actually sort of bailed him out by calling his attention to something else. Right.
Yep.
Like, God knows what he was about to say. Who knows what was about to happen. So she distracted him and got him down that path when he picked up the button. And then he said what he said about the thousands and whatever else, whatever he was trying to say. As that was happening, I was thinking to myself, this is actually an enormous, and he had to be quick in the moment, but this was an enormous opportunity politically for Joe Biden at this point in the speech, where he's got Marjorie Taylor Greene in the audience heckling him. He picked up the button and then he got it wrong, but he attempted to say Laken Riley's name. He attempted to say it. And if he had followed through and said it was a horrific crime and this is exactly what I'm talking, and if he had flipped it and used it, you know, they call it a sister soldier moment because it was Bill Clinton years ago, who, you know, turned on his party and attacked the gangster rap and the lyrics and the violence and all that stuff in the gangster rap. And it was contrary to what people would expect a liberal Democrat to say at that time. Biden had a golden opportunity to seize this issue and actually become the champion of fighting against the violence caused by illegal aliens, right? But he botched it. He completely ruined it by muddying it up, saying whatever he was saying about the thousands of other people who have been killed. So it was a real chance for Biden, but it's been drilled into his head that he has to fear the left and he cannot. And I think it's probably in his instincts to be a hardliner on immigration. He probably used to be, and he wasn't the guy that he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so afraid of the left that he knew that he couldn't seize it. And he started to, and then he backed off. And then in the end, he ruined it and he made everybody mad because now the right clearly doesn't trust him. And he used the word illegal. And now the left is mad at him all over again. And completely dropped the whole thing.
Also, when she yelled out Laken Riley, say her name, were people booing her?
I think probably the Democrats in the chamber.
Democrats are booing her.
Yeah, probably. Say, calm down.
Also, he looked up in the gallery,
like
her parents. They weren't there, were they?
No, they weren't. I heard somewhere that they had been invited and declined.
Speaking of,
he thought that her parents or her family anyway. He thought that they must be present in the gallery somewhere.
Yeah,
but they weren't. They were not.
Yeah. Speaking of people in the gallery, the Marine who stood up, who lost his son at Abbey Gate. With the withdrawal of Afghanistan. To me, that was powerful for a million reasons. Now, this guy has now been arrested. he faces 90 days in jail. And I got asked about this on one of the shows too, Tim. And I was thinking, 90 days in jail
for shouting?
This guy's living in his mind and his heart the rest of his life in prison because his son was killed when the United States of America had intelligence that there was a suicide bomber. The United States of America, people in the DOD, Secretary of Defense, told Joe Biden, you can't do this. It's going to be problematic. He lied about that. So he never saw any intelligence about that. Never. Never heard that. Then, of course, where were all the reporters who called when we were in the White House, every DOD official to find out what was true? No, it took them a while to do it, but finally the truth came out. I was just thinking to myself, this guy is so tone deaf for this country. When you had the opportunity, you said he had the opportunity, and he did, to seize the moment on that immigration issue, the border issue. He had a moment there where he could have done something or said something about that. The problem is Joe Biden's decline in the polls started with the withdrawal of Afghanistan. Right. When everyone saw that, that's when it started going down, and that's where it stayed. It's stuck. That did not leave him. And so I can see why I didn't want to talk about it. And I'm not condoning the yelling out and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I get why that dad's pretty pissed. You know what I mean? I get
jail time over this.
Yeah. 90 days, I think. Now I don't know if he's going to go to jail. I'm just saying 90 days.
That's my gosh.
That's pretty staggering.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Think about all, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but all of the riots that have that happened during 2020. Mm-hmm. And did anyone face any jail time for that?
Also, you know, it is not lawful to block traffic. It is you do not have a First Amendment right to impede the road.
Sure.
And the president of the United States had difficulty getting from the Capitol, getting from the White House to the Capitol last night to deliver this speech that we're tearing apart right now because of a bunch of leftist protesters. I would like to know how many of them were arrested, like this Gold Star.
Good point.
Got arrested.
Yeah.
You know,
probably none.
How many? And if the streets were blocked and there were protesters around, how did the Secret Service and the DC police, and the Capitol police, how did they clear a path for the president to get from the White House to the Capitol? How were those people removed from the roadways? Because I know this, Hogan, because you were there in the White House when this stuff was happening. If during the Trump years, if protesters were removed from anywhere, it was a federal case in the media. Oh my God, he had these protesters removed.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Right. So what happened to these protesters last night? Did anybody get arrested, and how were they gotten out of the roadway? I don't think we'll ever find out the answer to that. That's long gone. That thing, it happened last night and poof, it's done. But anyway, one thing that popped up to me, that it popped up in my mind.
Yeah. Because when that church burned down, right. Wasn't there tear gas?
Well, it didn't burn down. It caught fire.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I remembered that now, that the stories about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it turned out months later, it was the clearing of Lafayette Square.
Yeah.
And the media reported it as they cleared the protesters so that the president could walk through and go over to that church and hold up the Bible. Right. No. Turns out the order had been given to clear the park well in advance of anybody knowing that the president was ever even going to even think about walking through there.
That stuff was already
in motion.
And internally, we were saying, myself and someone who shall remain nameless, were saying, it's almost as though the press were saying, you know, they tried to burn down that church the night before. How dare you stop them from coming back and finishing the job?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
man.
Just insane. It just was so, so bad. I do, as we, I don't know where we are in wrapping this segment, but I do want to do the tweet thing because I want to hear what Sonny Joy's.
Go ahead.
Okay, you want to know what mine was? Okay, it's not deep or philosophical or anything, but it was the video of Speaker Johnson rolling his eyes, and the caption said, "We are all Speaker Johnson." His facial expressions were killing me last night. So funny. So, so funny. Yeah.
He had the Speaker, Mike Johnson had the hardest job of all last night. You know, Kamala Harris can sit there and look like she's agreeing with every single word that comes out of the guy's mouth. That's her job. Johnson has to sit there and listen to a speech that is awful from his perspective. And you know what? Got to have this smile plastered on his face the whole time. That's That's hard duty.
Oh, can I add one more thing too that I thought of? He spent how many days at Camp David working on this speech? Five days. And this is what
quite a while.
And by the way, just understand a State of the Union, because I've done several of these at this point. You have each segment is given to a cabinet secretary. The cabinet secretaries are trying to compile their piece of it. It goes through legal review, comms review, cadence for the president. He edits it. Staff, chief of staff, they look at it. This is like every word is parsed and driven through a tight sieve to make sure every word is accurate. All these things are true that fact checkers are going to waste their time even watching it. And as you said, Sonny, and that's what we got.
Yeah.
Like it's just, this is the most deliberate, simple. It's not simple necessarily to deliver, but it is the most deliberate, clear pathway for you to give the American people a message. And I just think he blew it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it wasn't. Oh, yeah, go ahead. What tweets did you like,
Hogan? Yeah, what was your favorite?
Oh, I had one. Now, look, I'm a sucker for Molly Hemingway, as you know, I think she's been on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one of those ones where I was scrolling and kind of laughing, and this is funny. And I saw this, and I lost it. It said, plot twist, it was Joe Biden's cocaine in the White House.
Yeah. Because, right. Because oh he was gosh. Just zooming through that speech.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
He was a hyped up man.
He was spitting out words so fast, you know. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Tim, do you have a favorite?
Funny. Well, you know, there were a ton of tweets that I thought were really funny and really dead on. And I like the ones that are kind of funny. But the one that stuck out to me, and I quote tweeted it today because I didn't see it until today. And I guess it wasn't posted until today, but it was posted by a Democrat named Sawyer Hackett, who used to work for Julian Castro. Remember when Julian Castro ran for president for about, was he the one who ran for president or was his brother? Was it?
Sure.
Right. So Sawyer Hackett, the Democrat, tweeted, I guess Biden was still in the chamber and had not left yet, but he was still wearing his microphone. I think he had a wireless mic on.
Yeah.
He's still wearing it. So he's talking to a group of Democrat senators. And he says, this is a quoting, and Sawyer Hackett tweeted this little tape on C-SPAN that caught this little exchange of Biden talking to the senators. Biden says, I told him, Bibi, meaning he's talking to Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel. I told him, Bibi, and don't repeat this, you guys, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. That's what Biden says. This is Biden telling senators that he told Benjamin Netanyahu, that they were going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Now,
also, he's Jewish.
Donald Trump, right? Is Biden aware? Is
Jewish?
Is Biden aware that the Prime Minister of Israel is Jewish? Is Biden aware of this? Because let me tell you, if Donald Trump or any Republican, but Donald Trump, if Donald Trump in particular ever said to a Jew, "We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting," it would be on the front page of the New York Times, right?
Sure,
100%.
Not to mention the policy. You're just setting behind the scenes that you're telling Bibi Netanyahu, like, that's bad enough, okay? You're going to tell them how to do the war. You're going to stand up for Hamas and God, whatever. But he's Jewish. That just
and the best part is this comms professional, Sawyer Hackett, thought this was a good thing and thought that he would tweet it to show, I don't know what, about Biden.
Right, he's going to stand up to Israel. Stand up to Israel.
Yeah, because you're standing up to Israel, pro-Hamas.
Unreal. Unreal.
Telling the Jewish guy, come to Jesus?
Sure. Makes sense.
Great day. So, all right. We ate up almost all of our time talking about State of the Union. But
there was a lot to say.
There was a lot. So, Super Tuesday, real quick. To Hogan, did it go basically how you thought it was going to go?
Exactly how I thought it was going to go. You know, Donald Trump continues to show how popular he is in the GOP and how he's growing that popularity across into independents as well. And that's what this race is going to be about. I think Donald Trump is in prime position to bring back those he lost from 2016 and also expand it into the Hispanic community, the Black community. Women now, I think, are even with Biden, which is huge for Trump. He's leading amongst, what, 30 to 59-year-olds, which is huge for Trump. He wins Hispanics outright in these polls. And a majority of the American people just don't like Joe Biden or his policies. So that was kind of an exclamation point to watch the way he kind of continues to mow through the field. Nikki obviously is out now. That's how it should be. It's time to coalesce and move. It's going to be the longest presidential election history. Trump, Biden, two, electric boogaloo. Let's let's get it on.
Sonny, you're, we should point out that you're working at the campaign now, but you're here today, as always, in your personal capacity.
That's right.
So, Super Tuesday, from your perspective, how did that shake out for you?
Yeah, it was a great night. It was a long night, but I think we obviously it went perfectly as we were intending. I will say his speech that night I thought was great, very even keeled. He came out there, talked about his accomplishments, and Hogan really hit all the points. He is polling so high. He is in a great position heading into the general. I mean, the general has been upon us for a while now, as we anticipated Nikki Haley was not going to make it very far, but boy, she tried. So I am glad that it is now all eyes on November 5th, which is also my mom's birthday. So
is that a fact?
Yes, well, it is.
We'll see how that birthday actually shakes out. The, a lot of the people like a lot of the CNN types and, former Republicans like Adam Kinzinger and all, they were pointing to Vermont on Super Tuesday because Nikki Haley won Vermont by like 4.3 points or something like that, 50.2% to 45.9%. She won Vermont. And they're saying, oh boy, this is big warning signs for Trump. He better, this shows how much trouble he's in because this is a Republican primary and he lost. And towards November, this is a reminder that he's weak and blah, blah, blah. Okay, couple things about that. One, Vermont is like some other states, like Virginia, which I'll get to in a second here. Vermont is an open primary state; you do not register by party, so anybody could vote as long as you're a registered voter, you could vote in that primary. And obviously, as Nikki Haley was planning, it was her actual game plan. Tons and tons of Democrats clearly voted for her in Vermont. Mm-hmm. Vermont is the state. This is the other part of Vermont. Let's not forget that Bernie Sanders is a senator from Vermont. Okay. So this is not a conservative bastion. It's an open primary. Democrats could vote for Nikki Haley. In 2020, in the presidential race, Joe Biden won Vermont over Trump, 66-30. Biden won Vermont by 36 points. It does not matter even a little bit what happened in the open Republican primary in Vermont. Yeah. Of course, Democrats dragged her across the finish line. It's a Democrat state. It's 2-1 Democrat.
Sure.
Yeah.
It means nothing what happened up there. A better look, if you want to look at what happens in an open primary state in Virginia, where I live and where I voted the other day, Trump wins Virginia 63-34.9. It's like he won Virginia by like 28 points, right? That's an open primary state. That shows how strong Trump is to win. And Virginia is not a red state anymore. It definitely tends to be a Democrat state, particularly in presidential elections. That's been the history since Obama. And for he wins big in Virginia, 28 points, which is also an open primary state. To me, that's more indicative of Trump's strength rather than Vermont, which Joe Biden won by 36 points the last time. That doesn't teach you anything about anything.
Definitely.
Ridiculous. Hogan, so where are we at? Who's ahead at this moment? If the general election has started, do you believe the polls? Is Trump ahead?
I believe so. Today, I do. Yep.
100%, especially after that State of the Union last night.
Oof.
I don't think that Joe Biden is popular, really, even amongst his own party. He can't make the left-wing part of his party happy. I mean, they can try to spin their economic numbers as much as they want to. People aren't feeling it. It literally does not matter what people go on TV and say, oh, the economy is so great. Regular people don't feel it. And that's going to be a huge voting issue in November. So I'm with you, Hogan. I say President Trump wins.
I'm for it.
That's the thing.
Me
too. They have to try to convince people that what they can see and feel is actually not happening. Like,
Right.
Now they've had to admit that the border is in
you
chaos.
You can't do
for
that.
For the longest time, you're saying, no, the border is secure, when it's clear to everyone that the border
doesn't work.
And now they're telling people, no, the economy is awesome, when the economy is clearly not awesome.
You're so right, Tim.
You know? And they're doing dumb things. Like, they got their guy, Paul Krugman, whatever, in the New York Times, the columnist and economist, saying, we have won the victory. The battle over inflation has been won. It is over. That's not it's not true. First
not
of all,
true.
it's sped up again. But even if inflation stops climbing, it doesn't mean that the prices have returned to where they were. That's now built in.
Yeah.
Right. Those prices aren't coming down.
I agree.
And so they keep telling people things that are easily disproven just by walking around in this country.
You have to make $11,400 more now than you did under President Trump just to keep the same lifestyle. The amount of percentage you spend on food from your paycheck now is the same amount you spent in 1991. I mean, everyone feels that. You can talk about shrinkflation all you want to and a bag of chips and a bag of cookies, but shrinkflation is only an exclamation point on your bad policy. If that even is happening, why do you think these companies have to do that? Because you've made the cost of business too high.
It's just a way for them to explain.
Before we wrap, what was the deal with the $400 a month to help offset mortgages? Did y'all catch that last night?
Yeah, I heard him say something like that. I don't know. I mean, that strikes me.
Why stop at 400?
I mean, that's the thing. Wait, is anyone in the United States of America expected to be self-sufficient anymore?
Nope.
In any way?
No.
Just live
Why
off the government.
You?
Yeah.
Unreal.
My student loans paid for, my mortgage paid for, my food paid for with food stamps. Yeah.
But by all means, let's worry about whether or not he used the word illegal.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who's in big trouble. Clearly conservatives don't like him. Independents don't like him. And now he's got a problem on the left. There's a reason why his approval rating is around 30%. It's because he's alienated basically everybody.
You're right.
And anyway, that's it. Good conversation. I thought this was a good one. State of the Union, Super Tuesday. Thanks, guys. Sonny Joy Nelson, Jay Hogan Gidley. I'm Tim Murtaugh. This has been the Line Drive Podcast.